Carl, we have a very interesting guest.
Yes.
In this particular segment. Her name is Linda Mornell. She's the founder of Summer Search, which is a nonprofit organization that provides disadvantaged young people with life-changing and challenging summer opportunities. She's also the author of the book Forever Changed: How Summer Programs and Insight Mentoring Challenge Adolescents and Transform Lives. So, welcome, Linda, to Smith Sabatino.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're delighted that you are. Tell me a little bit about this particular program that you've started, and why was it important for you to start it?
Well, my own three children as adolescents had a number of challenges. We moved them into a different school, and they were not as prepared as their peers. So they struggled in high school, and they all did summer programs. They all did a wilderness expedition, my middle daughter most reluctantly. And it incredibly increased, to be able to step away from their peers and their pressures and feeling one down and be in the wilderness and develop new strengths was very transformative for them. But unfortunately, the field of summer experiential education, these trips are expensive, so they're not available to underprivileged kids. So my idea was to get more diversity on these trips. And when I called the program directors, I said, don't you want more diversity on your trips? Wouldn't that enrich everyone? And the good programs agreed and were willing to give me 50% off their tuition.
Hmm.
So I started a nonprofit and started identifying kids.
Well, what are some of the summer programs and that you're talking about? I know you mentioned the wilderness trip, but what if somebody can't do that kind of a trip? What could they do?
You mean for various health issues?
Yeah, for whatever reason.
Right. Well, it's a huge field. There are family homestays in different countries, community service programs all over the world. My son, as a junior in high school, did a community service trip in Haiti for a month, which shaped his character and values in ways that were quite extraordinary. Music programs, language programs, academic programs, you name it, and there's usually some kind of program. But again, the cost is fairly significant. There are scholarships. We certainly offer full scholarships to our students. We started with 14 kids in 1990, and we're sending out over 3,000 kids today from seven different cities.
Hi, Linda. This is Carl Sabatino.
Carl, hi.
Hi. Fascinated by the program. I've done a number of, as Ronald knows, a lot of work in the not-for-profit area. Are we getting any of our corporate friends involved in providing the corporate scholarships, if you will, or corporate open up the corporate largesse for this kind of work? There's been a lot of talk of late about summer programs for our teenage kids and preteens. This seems to be perfect for them. Any involvement from the corporations?
Well, corporate giving in the U.S. is about 4%.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
So it's much lower than it should be. We've been able to attract some corporate giving. Again, we're in seven different cities, so it depends on the area. But mostly our funding comes from foundations and from private individuals. We produce pretty striking results. The kids are in the program for 3 years of high school. They do two summer trips, and they have ongoing mentoring, which we might want to talk about in a minute. And 75 to 80% of our kids, 100% of our kids graduate from high school, and 75 to 80% graduate from college. And among their peer group, that figure is sadly about 11%.
Hmm. Let's talk about mentoring.
Well, yeah, because what do you mean by insight mentoring?
Well, insight mentoring really, basically, is the opportunity for kids to learn to talk about their feelings, which is strikingly absent as an opportunity for most kids today. We had a student in New York who said that his MO in school and with adults and with authority was to give up, get mad, and shut down.
Hmm.
And that was the way he operated. And once in his interview with Summer Search, once it took him a while, but once he started talking about his feelings, he couldn't stop talking. And he talked about him for the next 2 years, and now he's a college student.
Well, you know, you mentioned that you have three adult children, and you I will also add that you have seven grandchildren.
Yes, I do.
Now, have you noticed a difference between when your children were doing some of these programs and what you would like your grandchildren to do? Do they have a different attitude? Do they have a different MO? Is it a different DNA? I don't know.
Well, my grandkids, the oldest is 13. Uh-huh. Primarily what I'm talking about are the high school years. You know, they're camps for middle school kids. I think it's helpful for kids to separate from their families and develop their voice separately. Studies of resiliency. Resilient kids are those kids that can separate from their family. So my grandkids are not quite at that point yet. One thing I will say that is a striking difference between 1990 and today, 25 years, in the first decade that I started Summer Search, boys were very eager to participate, very eager to take risks. And these are fairly substantial risks for these kids. They're going off sometimes for the first time on an airplane, the first time away from home, first time on a wilderness expedition. We always do a wilderness expedition as the first step. And alone, and sometimes as the only scholarship student and the only minority. So these are big risks, and the boys were eager to do it. And I would say in the last 15 years, each year, we struggled with getting more girls and fewer boys. The boys have been increasingly resistant and reluctant to take those kind of risks. And that's an issue I think that everybody's starting to look at.
Hmm. Wonder why that is.
I'd like to chime in on that, and I think I have an answer, if this makes any sense.
Good. I'm glad you have an answer.
I do believe that young boys today are increasingly finding themselves isolated by the technological age. And
I'm sorry, by the what
the
age?
The technological age, yes, the techie age. And in that isolation, for whatever reason, they're beginning to become insulated into their own world. And I've noticed this from my own adolescent stepson, who is now in college and doing well, but I noticed his quiet isolation and his lack of interpersonal relationships. Okay, it's gotten much better now that he's going to be graduating school and he's now finally come out of his shell. But I've noticed that a lot in boys, and there seems to be a surge in interest in young women and what women can contribute on the planet, and that emboldens young women to step up and to simply do it. And I think that's one of the causes, because it's easier for a boy to become insulated, like the young man who said from New York, I get quiet and I get mad and then I just simply disappear. Well, the point is, there's more of them than we know, and we've got to get them out of that shell earlier on in their adolescent life as opposed to later on. My thoughts, for whatever it's worth.
Actually, I think they're right on, and they're very interesting. An Outward Bound instructor had a conversation, this very same conversation, with just 2 weeks ago, and she said the same thing.
Huh. That's interesting. Well, I think if you stay on it, if you stay with the young men, some of the programs that I've worked with over the years, if you stay with the young men, but they have to be mentored earlier, not later. With young girls, it can be later, but young boys, it must be early on. The process starts at 6 and 7 and 8, not later on.
Okay, what advice quickly would you give the parents of children who are not necessarily motivated by anything we're talking about?
Okay, I think as parents, we get way too anxious about our kids' performance in school. And that anxiety leads parents to push harder and take more and more responsibility. And once it's the parents' response, the school performance in school is the parents' responsibility rather than the adolescent's responsibility, you're sort of locked into a pattern that is going to perpetuate itself. So the first thing parents need to do is step back a little bit and realize, you know, it's not all or none. It's not if their kid isn't performing in school or isn't interested in school, it's not the end of the world. Help them find other interests, support their self-confidence and their self-esteem, And there are many ways of making up those deficits down the line.
Well, Linda Mornell, thank you so much for sharing your expertise on this. The website is www.summersearch.org. That's correct, Mike.
That is correct. And if anyone wants to reach me directly, my website is lindamornell.com.
That's LindaMornell.
Yes.
You got it, .com. Thank you very much for joining us on Smith Sabatino.
Linda, thank you very much. And let's have you back sometime in the future, and let's see how we're doing. Let's see how we're doing.
You know, that would be wonderful. And thank you both for your interest in our broader community.
You're welcome.
Our pleasure, my dear. Right. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
That was fascinating. That really was. That's good stuff. Good stuff here on Smith Sabatino. Roland, we keep doing it.
Somehow, I don't know why it happens, Carl, but it does.
And this is Smith Sabatino, and we're back.
America Weekend.
Think Green. Harrison with you. Good news for us serious Java drinkers. Looks like long-term coffee drinking doesn't appear to have any real negative effect except the jitters.
Coffee makes me a mite nervous when I drink it.
Coffee may even cut a person's chances of dying from heart disease, according to a major medical study from Spain. The study looks at both regular and decaf drinkers and found that up to 6 cups a day of regular coffee didn't affect middle-aged participants at all, the balance of which were female nurses and male doctors and dentists. And best, no connection at all between coffee and cancer deaths. And some studies now show coffee's a great source of antioxidants, which protect cells from heart disease, cancer, and other sicknesses. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This Canadian sprinter is one of the most controversial Olympians ever. He set a 100-meter record in 1988, only to be disqualified for steroid use.
Ben Johnson of Canada does it. A 9.84. Unbelievable.
So where is Ben Johnson now? Ben's a big soccer fan and is currently coaching in Melbourne, Australia. He's also coached Al-Sadi Gaddafi, the son of Muammar Gaddafi, and soccer superstar Diego Maradona. Ben says he and Diego are teaming up to open a worldwide chain of sports bars, but Ben still finds himself defending his own reputation because of his steroid controversy.
No one had the right to judge me because no one in his life is perfect. Anywhere else in the world, everybody's doing the same thing. You do understand?
I guess bushes were made to be beaten around. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Disable the cable with MyTV. Call 888-759-MYTV.